First Kings chapter 3, verse 1. First Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, yes. Dismiss the junior church, sorry.
Hey, they need to hear this too, so get back to council. All right, let's read 1 Kings chapter 3, portion of chapter 1 here. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built into the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord. That's good. Walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the kings went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God had said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee, which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and made offerings of peace offerings, and made a feast to all of his servants. All right, so let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll hop into this. Lord, thank you for this morning you've given us. I just pray that you bless the time now as we open your word, and thank you for allowing us to be blessed by reading it already. Be with the communication efforts, Lord. May the point get across. Help us be more like you. We love you and thank you, and ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So this morning in Sunday school, we essentially talked about being an authentic Christian, making sure you're a Christian who is building upon your faith, that you're not just coasting, that you're doing what's right before the Lord and seeking to add to your faith, that you can be sure of who God is in your life. And that's kind of, we see similarities here with Solomon, as Solomon had a right perspective on his life before God. And I'm gonna make this sermon what they call inductive. There's inductive and deductive sermons, right? A little lesson time. Deductive sermon is what it's going to be. It means you give the main point right away, right? And then you prove your point. Inductive would mean I take all this time trying to hint at it and kind of carry you along until the end where you get a good punch in the gut. But I'm not feeling able to punch in the gut tonight, so or this morning. So I'm going to give you the main thing right away and make a case for it a little bit, and we're gonna go from there. God has called you to something specific in your life. God has called me and my family to come here to Fall City, Nebraska. I was born in New York, went to Bible college in Oklahoma, lived the past 8 years in Oregon, and then the good Lord decided to bring us here to Fall City, Nebraska. Why? I don't know. I don't question God. God said, "Hey, I want you to go there." It's like, okay. Let's go to 4,000 people from, 50, 60 or more to 4,000 people. But that's God's calling in our life. God called me to be the parts manager at Holman's Ford. Amen. And like you'll see in Solomon, he says a few different words here. He says, but I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And it's exactly how I feel working at Holman's Fort. I prided myself through my college years doing plumbing work and some electrical work and everything else in between. I was maintenance in college, and we just did everything, and I just didn't really care for cars, so never tried to work on them, never cared. It was like, what do I need that for? Well, little did I know, I was going to go to Holman's Ford here in Falls City, Nebraska. And those guys there know what they're doing. and they're loud about telling you and teaching you what you need to know. So like Solomon, I'm thinking, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me figure out how to do my job, right? Essentially, I need to know. And thankfully, I work with some good guys who are helping me along the way. But the thing is God has called each of us, right, in our own life to something he wants you to do, right? You may not be King Solomon. You might not be leading a multitude of people. But here's the thing. You need to have a right perspective on what God has for you in your life. That's what this message is all about. Having a proper perspective. And Solomon had that. Because he had this perspective of, you showed great mercy to my father, and now you're calling me, right? God's going to use Solomon in some amazing ways as a leader. What he's saying, essentially this, you've called me to this, but I don't know that I have the ability to be able to do what you called me to do, right? You've called me to do this, but I don't know that I'm well equipped for this. And in this dream that he has, right, it's like God asks him and says, What wilt thou? What can I give to you? And as Solomon thinks about everything in his life, thinks about where he's at and what God has called him to, he essentially says, well, if I want to follow God, and it says that he loves the Lord, and I want to walk in his statutes as my father did before me, and I want to do what's right, well, what's the biggest thing God's called me to? And he's called me to be a leader. But I'm not a leader. I don't know how. I guess if I could have something, Lord, help me to have wisdom in my judgment, that I can lead appropriately the people that you've called me to lead. Now, that's a pretty good, sincere prayer. And it's a good one. It's a proper perspective. It's what Solomon needed to have in his life to put himself in position where God is on the throne and he is down low. I mean, come on. If we all had a dream, or if God came to us and said, ask me something, right? You know, what would you ask for? I mean, how many of us have a perspective of a child to immediately think, well, God, what is your will for my life, and can you help me to do that? Right? We may not think that way. I don't know what you'd ask for, but here's the thing. We are called by God to do something. And let's just start here. You're called to be a member of this church. We can start there. Right? You say, well, I don't know how to be a proper member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Like, that's okay. You can ask God for it. See, this is the bulk of the message, and this is why God is so great. It's because what he's called you to, he can equip you to do, which is awesome. I mean, God's called me, like I said, to be the parts man, right? I mean, God's helping me along in that, and he's left me there, and he's given me great guys to, like, help me through that. It's not like I went to Holman's Ford and worked with, you know, nobody I knew. It's so God's so merciful to someone like me to figure these things out, right? To, you know, get a little bit of a hard time here and there. But Tim's not in here. I'm not going to use it against him today. But, you know, we're all in those positions, but isn't it so kind that God says, I'm gonna bring you somewhere, and then I'm gonna equip you for it. I'm gonna give you what you need. And then he says, but I also want you to ask. I want you to be able to acknowledge who I am and what I've called you to do. So you think, okay, I'm a member here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. God's called me here. Well, what does that mean for me? Well, you might say, like Solomon, I don't know. I don't know how to go or to come out. I'm but a little child. I'm a member here, but you know, I don't know how to take the next step. Well, does God want you to take next steps at Valley Avenue Baptist Church? Absolutely, he sure does. But what's your perspective? Because if your perspective is not to grow or to be an appropriate, you know, member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, you may not be asking that. You may not even be thinking about it. And that's where this perspective thing comes into mind. What has God called you to do? He's called you here to this church. So when you go home, when you have your prayer time, you need to ask God, Lord, what can I do to be a better member of your church, to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ here in Falls City, Nebraska? What kind of things can I do to be a better member? And it's not like God's going to say, well, I've called you here, and I want you to serve me, but I'm going to leave you in the dark. It's so great that God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that for me at work. He doesn't do that here. He didn't do that when he called us over here to Nebraska to kind of drop everything we were doing there and bring us over here. He didn't do that. It was very much a humbling thing to say, God, I don't know essentially where I'm going to work. Like, I have an idea, right? And then I called Josh, and he, you know, gave me the spiel about Holman's Ford and gave me every single detail there was to know, except two big words that he left out, Tim Campbell. I don't know why he mentioned everything but those two words. Maybe he thought if he did, I wouldn't be here. I don't know. But, yeah, he hasn't apologized for that yet either, but it's okay. But, hey, we're here, right? And we want to keep a proper perspective on what God's called us to. And I don't know what, like, 2024 holds. I don't know, or 2024 and 25 holds. I don't know what it holds for your life. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, like, what God is calling us to per se. It just matters your perspective on how he's calling you, right? How he wants to use you. And that's a big thing, is because we can be straight up unwilling to be used of God. Like, that's a thing. You could come to church and coast. You can come here all day on Sunday morning, maybe even Sunday, maybe Wednesday night, but just not be engaged. You could be here and just be like, I'm a church member. But what is your perspective on this thing? What pleases God? The Bible says here that God was pleased when Solomon asked for what he asked for, because he didn't ask for something for himself. He asked for something that would help him glorify and accomplish God's will in his life. And that's really the key here. It's, what does God want out of my life? And once you find out what that is, you just ask him for that thing. Ask him for help doing that thing. I mean, he's called me to be a dad. Maybe you're in here and you're a dad. He's called you to be the financial provider, right? And your perspective is, I'm just going to work, and I'm just going to do what I got to do to make the money, and I, you know, and that's what that is. But what are you really asking of God at that point? Well, do you really need God, or are you just going to get things done and just make that money? Well, you'll find that sometimes you do that, and you start spinning your wheels, and it's hard. Hey, I know, I get it. I get, like, financial struggles out there. It's really tough. So what do you need to do? Just keep working, keep trying, just do your very best? Well, yeah, be at work, do your best, but what's your perspective? What is your position before God right now? Are you up there with him? Like, hey, we're buddies, God, and I'm making the money, and you're just kind of here with me? Or are you but a child and saying, God, you've called me to be a provider and a worker, but I don't know how to do that appropriately. Can you, like, give me wisdom? Can you help me to accomplish that in my life? Well, yes, God has called you to be a steward. So he's called you to finances, to raising a family. I'm a dad. I'm a mom. God has called you to that too. If you're in here and you're like, well, I know exactly I should be a mom. I know all the things. It's like, well, I'm glad for you. But you're probably going to find out real soon that you actually don't. It's all about perspective. It's all about position. If we're wanting to please God in our lives today, this morning, in this moment, we have to take inventory of ourselves, find out what God has called us to specifically, like in your specific life. We have a general will of God, right, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves, if we should be here in church, we should be having a relationship with God, we should be tithing, right, we should be giving, we should be givers. Like, all of these things are general things here in the Bible, but not, God has not called all of you to be the parts man at Holman's Ford for now, right? Fingers crossed. That he does, right? No, I see. He's not called all of you to do that specifically. He's not called all, you know, we're not all working the same job. We're not all doing the same thing. God has a specific will also for your life. And as you draw closer to him, and as he takes it a step beyond just being a church member, right? But he says, hey, I also want you to grow in this specific area. I want you to go this way with your life. You should think, well, God, can I do this? What's your perspective? I got it. I could do anything. Like, yes, you could do anything, but again, we can't lose that childlike perspective that says, God, you are higher than me, and I need you and your help. I need your help. One of my favorite things about teaching kids and being involved with kids ministry for so long, it's not just like the weird stuff that they say and all that. I mean, that's all good, right? If you work in kids ministry, you're like, man, some of these kids are just off the walls, crazy with some of the stuff that they say, which is fine. They're kids, right? But one of the things I really still envy about children is this certain level of innocency. Now, I'm not saying they're all innocent, right? Like, in the way that maybe you're thinking. Right? I know my daughter's 7, and she's a smart kid, you know, and too smart sometimes, you know, for her own good. I'm not doing the whole, my child's advanced. I'm just saying she's manipulative, like, sometimes. Like, she's like, I'm like, child, you need to, right? So I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking, like, that faith that a child looks at their parents, and they just have this awe of them, right? That, man, my dad is just wonderful. My mom is just everything. And we would know, you know, we're not that special. You know, like, I mean, you could be a high-ranking member in a corporate ladder or whatever. You could be all that, but at the end of the day, like, at the foot of the cross, right, it's all level. Like, we're all the same here. You know, it's there's nothing really special. But a child, they still look at you and say, like, wow, yo, Captain Steve. Man, he's just like a real pirate. You know, a respectable pirate, as they say in Patch. I don't know if they've ever sang that song, but it's a great song. A respectable pirate. Oh, wow. Pastor's up there preaching. Brother Josh mans the sound man with all those buttons and all the things, right? And you're just like, you turn it on and it lights up. You're like, okay, nothing crazy. But to a child, it's just like, wow, it's amazing. And I just love that innocency that they have. And honestly, we lose that as we get older. And God kind of, well, he does. He calls us to have a childlike faith in him. You could be 100 years old in here right now, but I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, you're but a child. You're his child. He is your father. He has the resources that you need for this life. He has everything that you need, just like you would for your child, except much, much better and much, much wiser and much, much stronger and much more able. And we grow up and we lose this perspective on God and what he's called us to. And we think that God is asking adult Mike to do all the things that he's called me to. But he's not asking adult Mike. Like, yes, I'm an adult. I have responsibilities. I understand. And we need to take those things seriously. But it's the perspective, friends. It's the perspectives that no matter how old you get, or how much money you make, whatever God's called you to, all the accolades, all the respect that you might earn in this world, you're still a child of God. And you need to take inventory in your life and find out what it is that he's called you to. And I guarantee you it's going to be bigger than you can handle. Well, how do you know that? I mean, he's called you to be a light in a godless world. That's huge. I don't know how to be the witness that I need to be. But God, you've called me to that. God, I'm but a child here. I don't know how to witness to my neighbors. I don't know how to witness to my family. I don't know how to witness to my sister, you know, and her family who are struggling with some big issues right now. I don't know how to do that. I'm 55 years old and I don't know how to do this, and it's frustrating. Well, don't think about yourself as 55. Don't think of yourself as a King Solomon ready to lead a multitude of people. Think of yourself as a child before God who needs help doing what God has called him to do. Just think of yourself as a young child and your dad saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. And then you just saying, you want me to do that? I don't think I can do that. Can you help me do that? And what's God going to say? No, I'll never help you do that. I mean, come on. I help my kids do things. I don't let them do it themselves totally, you know, yet. We're doing some renovation in our bedroom downstairs. We're kind of making it like an office. We have one of those orbital sanders, you know. Things are great. And so I was doing some of that, and it sounds pretty loud, you know, and it's kind of gritty and whatnot. And Judah wanted to help with that. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, so just because I know it's not going to hurt him. But for fun, you know, I just put it in his hand and, you know, turn it on. So, you know, and he's, you know, and he lets go of it. And it just goes off by itself, you know. He's, you know, kind of whatever, right? And it's just, oh, it's a little fun. We're just kind of messing around. I know it's not like I'm letting him use a chop saw or something. You know, it's just a little orbital sander. But again, I'm not going to tell him, hey, now I want you to sand this whole floor. Here's this device. You know, he's going to go, I can't do this. By the way, he didn't sand the whole floor. We didn't make him do that. Then Miss Lauren did that. So, which I didn't make her do that either. I was at work and she said she sanded the floor. But thank you, Miss Lauren, for doing that. Right? But the idea is I'm not going to set this person up and say, hey, do this. And, you know, my son, and then just let him go, right? He's going to say, I don't know how. I mean, what you're calling to me is me to do is bigger, right? And he asks, and willingly, I'll help him. I show him how to use it. I tell him where to put his hand. I turn it on, and I let him stand for a little bit. He feels it. He sees the result. The result's nice and smooth, and he likes it, and he wants to do it again, all that kind of stuff. He's not so overwhelmed anymore. You see what I'm saying? He's not so overwhelmed anymore at the task because someone was there to help him with it. And I feel like these tasks in our lives that are overwhelming that God has called you to, being a church member, being a witness to your family, being a witness to those around you here in Fall City, like all of these big things that you know God wants you to do in his revealed will are overwhelming and they seem impossible. If you can like get rid of that adult perspective that says, well, I just need to figure this out, or I don't have to so much, or and just kind of get rid of that, take that to the altar, bring that before God, leave it at his feet, and say, God, I need to be like a child. And I need to understand that you've called me to this and you're going to equip me for this. And I don't know how to do this, but if you could just help me, if you could, like Solomon, say, give me the wisdom to judge, I know you'll do that. And he did that. Now, a byproduct for Solomon was that he also gained riches and other things like that, which may not be exactly the case for us. But I don't think he's saying that he's going to give you riches when you ask for his will. I think essentially what's happening here is you have a proper perspective and you ask God for his help for accomplishing his will, he'll take care of you. Okay, I don't think it's saying that he's just going to give you a bunch of money and all these other things, kind of like a kid at Christmas who goes, oh, I think my brothers and sisters should have more presents than me. I think they should open theirs first. So I'll go, wow, Judah, that's so great. You know what? Next year, let's get Judah twice as many presents because he's just so kind. Right? It's not like that. It's not like, oh, God, I mean, I don't want money. Just give me wisdom when you're, you know, expecting money, right? We've all been there. That's not what he's doing. That wasn't Solomon's heart. Solomon wasn't fake about this thing. He was saying, God, you've got a big task ahead of me. And I don't know how to do this, but I want to. He also had the want to. It said he loved the Lord and he wanted to follow like his father did, and it put him in a proper perspective. And he asked, and God blessed and gave that to him. And then as you see in, you know, the next portion of scripture, he executes that judgment, right, with the two women and the baby, and he does it in like a marvelous way, and the whole land marvels at his judgment, and they understand that God gave him wisdom because of what he asked for. As a byproduct of choosing to live for God and ask for his help, other people saw that and are blessed by it. I mean, when you ask for God's help with what he's called you to do and he helps you, it's going to have a lot of awesome byproducts. Like, people are going to see that. People are going to be encouraged by that. We can't afford this morning to see what God has called us to in our lives and then just pretend like we got it or we don't need help. To please God with what he's called us to, we have to have that proper perspective. And that proper perspective is saying, God, what have you called me to? Hold on. What have you called me to? What has Almighty God in heaven asked me to do? A worthless sinner, right? What have you, Almighty, Holy, Thrice Holy God, called me to do? And help me to do that. Does that make sense? That's the message today, friends. That's the bulk of it. What has he called you to do in your life specifically? And are you asking him to help you with those things? Whatever it might be, please don't think for a second that you're too old or you're just not talented enough or whatever it might be. I ask all of my kids to do things. I try to challenge them in all kinds of ways. I try to help them. I do not look at my daughter and say, you're just a girl with scrawny arms, so you're not going to do, like, I don't do that. I don't say, well, you're just kind of young. I mean, come on. I want to steward all my kids well. Talents, strengths, all the above. And God's the exact same way with you all. He's saying it doesn't matter how old, how young, how whatever you are in here today, he's got a crafted, specific plan for your life. And we should be honored by that. We should say, unbelievable that God of heaven would want to use me in a specific way. How, God? And then God says, I want to use you to be this. And you think, whoa, no way. I mean, what's Ava thinking right now? I want you to go to Bible college. That's pretty big. I've been to Bible college. It's not, you know, it's fun, but it's a lot of work. And you never know what God's going to do there. He's going to call you to Nebraska maybe or something. Or he's going to call you somewhere else, right? I was in Oregon for a while because of that, right? You never know what God's going to do. But, like, you've got to be willing. And you've got to have that proper perspective and say, God, whatever you call me to do, like, I want to do it. So I need your help. I mean, maybe God's going to call one of the teens next year to go. I don't know. You know, God still calls men and women to be missionaries out of local Baptist churches. Like, people my age, maybe even older. I'm 32, the pastor says. That's pretty old. So, I mean, but God, you know, he still calls. I don't know why everyone laughs when he says that. You know, but he still calls people my age to, like, be missionaries and stuff like that. And you could literally be sitting here right now, like, of course, I know he does that, but he would never do that. I don't know. Maybe he will call you to do that. And what would you think if he did? If he said, well, maybe, would he call my family? I don't think I could do that. Like, well, why not? Where's your perspective? Are you just but a child obeying orders from your heavenly father? If you are, and he asks you to do something like that or prepare that way, all you have to do is say, God, I don't think I could do that. Can you help me? And he'll help you. Friend, we struggle way too much having a God who calls us and equips us. Right? We struggle way too much, even having a God who calls us and is willing to equip us. The problem is our perspective is off. We don't ask as we should. We don't view ourselves before God the way that we should. We are but children before him. God wants more out of your life. He wants you to do bigger things. He wants you to do more. He's calling you to like reach those family members. He's calling you for eternal purposes, big deals in your life specifically. Like I could point at each and every one of you and saying he wants specifically in your life to do something for eternity. Why? Because that would bring him glory. So I know he does. He wants to use you specifically for eternal purposes. But if you're still sitting here as 38-year-old, 52-year-old person, man or woman in here that's like, yeah, but I just like coasting here at church, I'm okay. We've gotta go back to that childhood state. And we've got to say, God, what do you want out of my life? What do you really want? You've got to pray and say, God, am I where I need to be? If I'm not, where should I be? Help me realize how I could be a better church member, a better friend, a better father, provider, all these things. And then don't just get up from that altar and say, I'm going to do it because I prayed. No, say, I'm going to get up and God help me. You see the difference there? I didn't say, here, Judah, here's the, well, sometimes they do this. Here's the sander. I got it, Dad. Right? And then they don't know what they're getting into. You're just going to jump in there and use something, right? We can't do that with God. Here's what I want you to do. Fine, I'll do it. I'm just going to get in there. Like, no, you need to ask for help, friend. You can't do this without his help. You need his help. You know, I think about the time I spent teaching the kids and at Harvest. I mean, kids are very, like, there's some instant gratification there with kids, right? You can play games and stuff, and they're having fun or whatever. And you know, you think about teenagers, right? Maybe not so much. Be a little tougher there. Like, God's called you to, like, minister to kids. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Think about it. Some of these kids are coming from broken homes. And you're going to get up there as an adult and just kind of half-heartedly do your thing because kids are easy and they're just fun. But, like, these kids don't need Brother Mike just to be fun, right? They need, like, the Word of God permeated in my heart to be spoken to them in a way that they can understand so that they can learn and grow because they're only going to get it for maybe 30 minutes out of a week. That's a big deal. God helped me to do that. Like, I mean, I'm just a song leader here, or I'm just a member in the choir. Hold on a second. God has made music wonderfully. Harmonies are beautiful. It's all good. Like, it is unreal. I can't wait to hear what it's like in the angelic choirs and glory someday. I just can't fathom it. It's wonderful. Your part in the choir is a big deal. Like, you practicing those specific notes is a big deal. Keeps that chord really tight and really just shining. Why? Because we want to sound good for people? Like, no, because we should be singing with excellence for our Lord. And he's given us that opportunity. He's made those chords. He's made it this way to where if we practice, it's beautiful. And sure, you all might like it, but sorry, we're not singing for you. We're singing for him to please him. And you all get to enjoy that, which is wonderful. And your hearts can be knit with us in those songs. And you can echo back and lift your praises to him. But like, this is something God's called us to do, and it's a big deal. I don't know how to sing the way that maybe I should sing. Well, if God's called you to this choir and he's put it in your heart, ask him. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. We're singing for him. I mean, whatever it is that God has called you to, as we keep getting into the specifics, like, well, God's called me to, you know, cook around the church and help with some of the food and stuff like that. God bless you, first of all. Right? All I do around here is bake. God bless you. Those of you who bake and do that and use your talents for God, amen. Some of us can't bake, right? But those of us who can, we like to do it, and you're givers about it. That's awesome. That's a big deal. Why? Well, it's just a cake. Yeah, but like, you give a cake to someone at the right moment, with the right heart, that's a big deal to somebody. It can really turn the tide for someone. I know it sounds silly, right? It's a lot. I'm just a greeter at the church. I just shake people's hands. Smile. That's a big deal. It's a big deal to some people. Some people come into a church, and they're like, man, no one shook my hand, and they just leave. Well, they shouldn't be like that. Okay, that's fair. You should still be happy to see them. Right? Well, I don't know how to be happy. Ask God for help. I don't want to say you old man, but I kind of do. Ask God for help. Be like a child and be excited to see somebody. And shake hand with a firm handshake and show them that you're glad. Why? It's a big deal. That's a lost soul coming through those doors. And we want to be able to say, hey, you've called me to like be happy towards people. And I need help with that. No shame in that. Ask God for help. He'll help you have a smile on your face. He can help you with that. I mean, God's called. There's no part in this church, there's no job in this church too small or too insignificant or anything like that, that we can't legitimately ask God for help. If you think it's not a big deal, just consider God's kingdom, and it will become a big deal. I mean, I tidy up around here, like those tissue boxes, right? Remember the tissue box thing? Oh, we've got some tissue box covers. Like, yeah, but before we had busted up Amazon boxes up there. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's a big deal, like the testimony of the church. Like, we're trying to, friends, together as a church body, we have to take inventory of ourselves, think about what God has called us to do. What do you think? God has called me to see a tissue box and maybe try to change it? Sure. I mean, there's some little patches and holes in the wall. You're like, maybe God's called me to patch a piece of drywall. I mean, it's just a little bit. Like, this is the house of God. Get involved. That's great. Pastor's busy. He's very busy with what he's doing. Right? And some of you, you're sitting at home like, man, I got nothing to do today. It's kind of, it's like, ask God. Maybe he's calling you to help out around here to do a little extra or something. Like, that'd be great. God, help me. Help me to do that. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I'm telling you, he's calling you to do something. He's calling you to be a witness. He's calling you to be here at church. There's so much opportunity out there. But some of us are adults, and we're like, well, I'm tired. I worked all day. Or I got this going on. Or I got that going on. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm tired too. We're all tired. Let's just work till Jesus comes. Right? We're all tired. We all go through it. Let's be involved. Let's be in our positions. Let's stop acting like these adults who just know everything and consider that maybe like a child, God is calling us to do something bigger than ourselves. And if he is, there's a way that we can accomplish his will. And it all comes with a matter of perspective. It all comes with a matter of perspective. It's when he asks and says here in verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" You can take that same phrase and you can make it in your position, your situation. He says, "For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" That's what God's called him to do. But for you, you can say, "Who can do this that you've called me to do?" And as long as you can just capture that perspective, friend, this morning, if you can capture that perspective this morning, God's going to help you do some of wonderful things. You know, and maybe you're thinking, man, I've wasted a lot of years at this point. Can God still, you know, use that for me? I think so. I mean, why would he not? You know, I'm going to take it a step behind saying I think so. I'm going to say I know so. I know he can. And he wants to. He wants to use you in a great way. God's not done with you. If you're thinking God's not using you and your life's kind of maybe a little dull, take a step back. Have the mind of a child. Take inventory. Ask yourself, God, what are you calling me to do? Whatever that is, say, God, help me to do that thing. Like a child, I need your help to accomplish that. And you'd be amazed at the help that he gives you and the results because of it. Friend, this isn't for you. It's not to make you look good or something like that. You choosing to do God's will in your life and asking for help is God's plan. So it's for his glory. Like, don't you want to have some awesome stories for your kids and your grandkids to say, man, I remember I just got my heart right and I just asked God, God, what do you want from me? Just help me to live for you. I want to have a proper perspective. I want to please you. And then you could just say, God did some wonderful things. Or you could grow old and you could look at your grandkids and say, yeah, I was a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church for 40 years. I just sat there on Sunday mornings. That's all. Come on. God wants more for each of us than that. He does. He wants to use you. He really wants to use you as a child. Let's take inventory this morning. Let's consider what God would have for us in our lives and then choose to ask him for help in that specific area. So we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes, and we're going to have a quick time of invitation. I know it's early. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to take some time to pray. Lord, thank you for the morning you've given us, and thank you for this time. I know the Bible is just very clear, Lord, and that you are our Heavenly Father, and that we are your children, God, and we need your help. We need you to help us with what you've called us to. There's just no way we can do this on our own. In our own strength, God, it's just this. It's not possible. You can try, but it's not your will. God, we need to be submitted to you. We need to have a proper perspective on you, as Solomon did. Help us to gain that perspective today, Father, as we finish up here and have a quick word of prayer and a time of invitation. Lord, help us to take inventory and to really ask ourselves, are we humbled before you? As children, are we asking you to help us fulfill your will in our lives? And if not, God, help us. Help us to step back, take the mind of a child, and say, God, help me to fulfill your will in my life. I need it. We all need it, God. We need it because you're worthy of it. Your glory is on the line, God, in our lives. Help us not to let our whole life go by, God, without being submitted and as a child just asking you for help, God. Thank you, and we love you, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll have a time of invitation. If you're not praying, go ahead and stand. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you can do that. Just take a verse or two and take some time to humble ourselves before God and bring it all before Him.